Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street braces for today's Fed decision and Jay Powell news conference.
Oil spikes higher after Vladimir Putin steps up his war against Ukraine. We're live with the latest.
And bank CEOs head to Capitol Hill to testify before Congress.
President Biden headlines a Democratic fundraiser in New York City. Plus, a special master expresses skepticism about Donald Trump's legal arguments. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run. The Yankees then won on a walk-off grand slam. The Mets with a dramatic comeback victory.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are little change this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Again, S&P, NASDAQ, Dow futures, they're all little change. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds. Yield 3.52%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.93%. Bitcoin this morning is lower at $18,880. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the key meeting Wall Street has been waiting for all week. This afternoon, we find out just how much the Fed raises interest rates. Let's start with a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Federal Reserve officials are about to put numbers on the pain they've been warning of in recent weeks. The benchmark U.S. interest rate will go up, likely 0.75 percentage point, but most importantly, they will publish new projections for the economy, which are likely to show slower growth and substantial rise in unemployment ahead. All that will be reflected in higher interest rates, and those interest rates will stay higher for longer. All of which makes the dot plot the most important news out of the meeting. It's not what the Fed does now, but what it signals about what's next. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Ahead of that decision, one former Fed official is calling for the central bank to continue aggressive policy. We caught up with former Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart.
I believe they'll do 75, but I cannot fully rule out 100. I can rule out 50. There is no justification for dialing back at this point. But I really think the highest probability is 75.
Former Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes.
Well, meantime, Karen, one top economist thinks the Fed's going too far in raising rates. David Rosenberg of Rosenberg Research says the negative impact will be felt next year.
Everybody applauding Powell right now for doing what he's doing to crush yesterday's story, which is called inflation, is going to be ruining the day 12 months from now when the recession is going to be deepening and we're not going to have any idea how we're going to get out of it.
David Rosenberg of Rosenberg Research made the comments on Bloomberg Surveillance. Join us for a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance with live coverage of the Fed decision. It's coming up at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, another major story we're following this morning, Nathan, focuses on Russia's ongoing war in Ukraine. Moscow is preparing to escalate the conflict. Vladimir Putin is vowing to use all means necessary in the war and announced what he calls a partial mobilization. We get more from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
The war is going to continue for longer. If you thought there was a diplomatic solution possible to this in the medium term, I mean, I think after this, you can really kiss it goodbye because it's not going to happen. And then the other issue is that it does speak to some extent to the urgency of the Russian army to provide additional manpower to what is now a very messy front line for Russia, especially in the wake of that counteroffensive from the Ukrainian army last week. It had been an embarrassment. We had been waiting for the response, and now we have it here.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says oil is spiking on news of Russia's mobilization. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil up 1.9% of $1.53 at $85.48 a barrel. Brent is up 1.8% at $92.21.
Well, the Russian invasion of Ukraine is also dominating talks at the United Nations General Assembly in New York City. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern is there and filed this report.
Putin will be holding sham votes as soon as this weekend to absorb four regions into Russia that are part of Ukraine. We spoke to NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, who says this does not change the facts on the ground.
Such sham votes, referendums, do not have any legitimacy, and therefore they don't change the nature of the conflict. This remains a war of aggression by Russia against an independent sovereign nation in Europe.
Biden will be addressing the assembly on Wednesday, and according to his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, what he will want to communicate is that he pushes back against aggressors who seek to threaten, coerce, and intimidate their members or to violently attack them. Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg News, New York.
All right, Anne-Marie, thank you. Well, back in our nation's capital, the country's biggest banks are also in focus today. Top executives head to Capitol Hill for 2 days of testimony on the banking industry. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A House committee hearing on banking accountability is set for today. A Senate panel will hold a hearing on annual oversight of the nation's largest banks tomorrow. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase plans to tell the lawmakers that increasing capital requirements for big banks is bad for America. Jamie Dimon's prepared remarks hit on a range of issues, and he says his firm plays an important role in the global economy. He warns of harm from arbitrary increases in capital requirements. The CEOs of Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup will also be heard from. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. And another note this morning on Wall Street banks, they're likely to lose about $600 million after unloading debt for the buyout of Citrix Systems. Investors required significantly higher yields than banks had promised to private equity firms Vista Equity and Elliott Investment Management. That forced Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and others to absorb the losses.
And Nathan, another major corporation is making hiring changes. Boeing is cutting accountants and hiring more engineers. The airplane maker plans to outsource about 150 accounting and finance jobs as it shrinks its corporate structure. At the same time, it'll increase hiring to support engineering, manufacturing, and product development. And futures, again, little change this morning. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 3.52%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 64 degrees in Central Park. We got accident cleanup on the southbound Major Deegan near Yankee Stadium. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Joe Biden headlined a fundraiser in New York last night that raised about $2 million for Democratic Party organizations. It featured celebrity guests, including actor Robert De Niro and Mayor Eric Adams. The event, on the night before Biden's address to the UN General Assembly, was held at the Manhattan home of designer and Democratic activist Henry Munoz. Venezuelan migrants flown to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts sued Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his transportation secretary, accusing them of a fraudulent and discriminatory scheme to relocate them. A Texas sheriff has opened an investigation into the flights as well, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker.
I am very glad that the sheriff chose to open an investigation. I think that's the right thing to do.
Meanwhile, Governor DeSantis says many of the migrants and asylum seekers want to go to Florida, and he means to stop them.
We have to go and figure out, okay, who are those people likely to be? And if you can do it at the source and divert to sanctuary jurisdictions, the chance they end up in Florida is much less.
Governor DeSantis hinted of more flights. New York Mayor Eric Adams announced another sign of the city's gradual return to the pre-pandemic norms.
We will also provide additional flexibility to business by lifting the private sector mandate on November 1st. This put the choice in the hands of New York businesses. It is imperative that we're asking them to continue to encourage their employees to get their vaccines and booster shots.
Mayor Adams says they will continue to require its own workers to be inoculated. New York will install surveillance cameras in its subway train cars in a push to crack down on crime underground. Governor Hochul says there will be two cameras per train car. The special master requested by Donald Trump to review thousands of documents the FBI seized from his Mar-a-Lago home expressed skepticism about some of the former president's arguments. At his first hearing in the matter, U.S. District Judge Raymond Deary pushed back on the Trump lawyer's position that they didn't need to detail any alleged declassifications of highly sensitive records. Hurricane Fiona is threatening to strengthen into a Category 4 storm as it lashes the Turks and Caicos Islands and was forecast to squeeze past Bermuda later this week. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. A memorable night at Yankee Stadium. Didn't look like it would be. Yankees came up out of the ninth inning, trailing the Pirates 8-4. Aaron Judge had gone 0-for-3 with a walk, but he led off the ninth. So one more chance to join a very exclusive club.
Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow.
Indeed. WFAN the call. Judge matches Babe Ruth from 1927. Next up is Roger Maris's 61-61. The homer made it 8-5. Yankees were hardly done against the Pirates. Will Crow, they loaded the bases, and with still nobody out, Giancarlo Stanton, who since coming off the injured list last month was 9-for-72 with 30 strikeouts, delivered a walk-off grand slam. The Yanks won 9-8. The Yankee debut of Bronxville native Harrison Bader. He drove in 3 runs. Plenty of drama for the Mets in Milwaukee. They trailed 3-0 sixth inning when Pete Alonso tied the game with his second 3-run homer in as many nights. And an inning later, Francisco Lindor hit a game-winning grand slam of his own. Mets won 7-5 to stay a game ahead of Atlanta. Maury Wills has died at 89, longtime Dodgers shortstop, the NL MVP in 1962 when he stole 104 bases. Couple of Norris Trophy-winning defensemen have retired. P.K. Subban, only 33, played for 3 teams, including the Devils, and Zdeno Chara, who's 45, one-time Islander, spent most of his career in Boston. The 6-foot-9-inch Chara, tallest player in NHL history. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thank you. S&P futures little changed right now. Dow futures are up 5 points. NASDAQ futures down 8. The 10-year Treasury is up 7/32, yield 3.53%. Ahead of the Fed decision this afternoon, we preview next with Jennifer Lee of BMO Capital Markets. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. PPAC Private Wealth Management knows that a portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com and begin your financial legacy today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Markets are muted with investors mostly sidelined before another expected rate hike from the Federal Reserve. Treasury's gold and the dollar jumping after Russian President Vladimir Putin stepped up his war against Ukraine. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Again, S&P, NASDAQ, Dow futures all little change. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 3.53%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.94%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.4%, up $2.04 at $85.98 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $10.80 at $16.81.90 an ounce. The euro is at 0.9913 against the dollar, British pound 1.1348, and the yen 143.82. Looking at Bitcoin, down 0.6% at $18,860. And today we're watching for reports on existing home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And the Federal Reserve interest rate decision is out at 2. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Russian President Vladimir Putin has announced a partial mobilization in Russia. The measure appeared to be an admission that Moscow's war against Ukraine is not going according to plan. After nearly 7 months of fighting and amid recent battlefield losses for the Kremlin's forces, President Biden speaks to the UN General Assembly later this morning. Aides say the president will accuse Russia, a permanent member of the Security Council, of striking at the very heart of the UN Charter for invading Ukraine. It will carry President Biden's address live. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Pirates 9-8. Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run this season, one away from Roger Maris's American League record. The Mets and the Red Sox won. The Orioles and Nationals lost. The A's and Giants were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Fed Decision Day, we are joined live now by Jennifer Lee, senior economist at BMO Capital Markets. So here we are, Jen. The markets have fully priced in 75 basis points. Is the Fed going to deliver?
I think it will. Good morning. It's kind of funny, not in a ha-ha way, of course, but the fact that, you know, we're almost hoping for 75 beeps, which is, you know, just like half a year ago was considered, you know, completely out of the ordinary. But 75 basis points, I think it will be the result today.
Is 75 basis points here to stay? Is that what we're going to get in the subsequent meetings? What are you looking for in the dot plot?
So we are, I mean, the dot plot is always important, and I think there is a slight risk now that that we could see it tip over to above 4%. You know, our base case scenario is to end the year at 3.875%. So another 75 basis points today, and then another 50 in November and maybe 25 in December. It's sort of to slow things down a bit, but I think it's still, like, higher for now at least.
What's behind that case for a pivot toward slower rate hikes? Why do you think the Fed could move that way?
You know, there's the risk of doing too much, and that's always going to be a risk. But they have seen some of the economic slowdown from retail sales. I mean, consumers are starting to feel the bite of higher rates, of higher inflation. The fact that inflation expectations is starting to flicker down a little bit, certainly not enough to start dialing back the hawkishness, but it's something that I'm sure that the Fed officials are keeping an eye on. They can't keep doing 75 forever. You know, things have to start slowing down at some point.
At what point do you think we're going to start to see policy actually affect the inflation rate? We haven't seen it much at this point, particularly given the hotter than expected inflation read we got on consumer prices this month.
Right. So, the fact that energy prices have come down certainly helps a lot in terms of confidence and all that. But it's the core measure that they are keeping an eye on. And that last one that we saw a couple weeks ago, or was it last week or a couple weeks ago, was quite the eye-popper, you know, 0.6% month to month. So I think we're going to have to see at least 3 months of slower, you know, or the fact that, you know, core CPI is starting to be tamed somewhat. It will be the factor, I think, in getting the Fed Chair Powell to sort of ease up on his hawkish tone somewhat. But it's going to take a few more months, and, you know, just 1 or 2 months is not going to cut it.
What's the risk of economic damage from tighter policy? I mean, we have started to see signs of the slowdown. Is there a risk of tipping this economy into recession with the kind of aggressive moves that the Fed's been making over the last few months?
That's a great question. I think there's a very real risk of that happening. And it's almost like, you know, we've already been seeing, you know, quite a number of hikes, some very aggressive hikes already. The fact that the consumer is still spending, the economy is still holding on, but as you point out, it has been softening. It might have to take, I have to say this, it might even take a recession in order to knock inflation lower. So there is that risk. It's a very real risk.
If we see the Fed go above 75, I mean, there's still the pricing of the possibility of a 100 basis point move. What's the market reaction, do you think?
Oh, it'll be bad. I think, I mean, although there has been talk about 100 basis points, I think 100 beeps is just going to reek of panic. You know, the average person is going to be thinking, you know, what's the Fed thinking, or know, what does the Fed know that I don't know? You know, and I think it would be too much. Personally, I do believe that, and I think 75 basis points accompanied by continued hawkish talk during the press conference would be, I think, the base case, and I think that would be the proper move to make. 100 basis points would be too much, and would just wreak a panic.
Are you expecting further hawkish talk from Chairman Powell? Obviously, we did get that at Jackson Hole last month. What are you going to be listening for at the news conference in our last 30 seconds here?
I'm going to be listening for new words, new descriptive words that he's going to be using, and his vocab has been improving every month, it seems. And the last one was the need to act forthrightly, I think, was the last one he'd made just before the blackout period. But I think the hawkishness will be maintained, but I don't see it being amped up any further.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks. Really appreciate getting your thoughts ahead of the decision. 2 p.m. Wall Street time, of course, and the news conference with Chairman Powell to follow at 2:30. We will have full coverage for you on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance. That begins at 1:30 across Bloomberg Radio and Television. Ahead of that, thanks again to Jennifer Lee, Senior Economist at BMO Capital Markets. Futures, not really moving much. S&P futures, little change. Dow futures up 9. NASDAQ futures lower by 14 points in anticipation of the Fed decision this afternoon. Actions in the bond space with the 10-year up 7/32 now at the yield 3.53%. Yield on the 2-year at 3.94%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Fed Decision Day. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. A portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with this afternoon's Fed decision, where we find out how much the central bank will raise interest rates. Former Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart says he expects a 75 basis point hike and thinks rates will continue going higher until late next year.
It's just very unlikely that you're going to see a pivot from one meeting to the other, going from hawkish to dovish overnight. So I would expect that once they get to a point they feel they need to either pause or stop, that rate will be sustained for probably several meetings.
Former Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart tells us there's no case for anything less than 75 basis points today. Stick with us for live coverage of the Fed decision and a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance beginning at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Another major story we're following, Karen, involves an escalation by Russia in the war with Ukraine. Vladimir Putin is vowing to mobilize troops and is also renewing nuclear threats. Occupation authorities installed by Russia announced referendum votes aimed at annexing territory in Ukraine. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper says that vote should not be recognized.
These regions will vote to join Russia to be annexed, and that's predictable, and Putin will manipulate it in whatever way he can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should recognize them. I think the sovereign territory, the boundaries of Ukraine have been identified clearly and recognized by the UN since the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991, and we should continue to assist Ukraine in restoring their complete sovereignty to include Crimea.
Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Nathan, the country's biggest banks are also in focus this morning, with top executives set to spend 2 days testifying on Capitol Hill. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is expected to tell lawmakers higher capital requirements are bad for America. We'll bring you that hearing live on Bloomberg Radio coming up in the 10 a.m. hour.
And a note from Boeing this morning, Karen. The airplane maker is cutting accountants and hiring more engineers. Boeing plans to outsource some finance jobs while increasing hiring for engineering, manufacturing, and product development.
And futures this morning, well, S&P futures starting to show a little more strength. They're up 5 points now. Dow futures as well, up 49. NASDAQ futures remain little change. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 3.53%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.94%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with the accident cleanup southbound Major Deegan near Yankee Stadium. Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Biden took part in a Democratic fundraiser in New York City last night. The event on the eve of his address to the UN General Assembly featured Mayor Eric Adams and actor Robert De Niro. It raised about $2 million for the party. The event, with about 100 people, was held at the Manhattan home of designer and Democratic activist Henry Munoz. New York Mayor Eric Adams said he is ending the city's COVID-19 vaccine requirement for private sector workers on November 1st, one of the last remaining restrictions of the pandemic. Adams says, though, city government workers will still need to be immunized against COVID.
Vaccinated workers have carried out their jobs, and they stepped up when the city needed them the most. And we think it's imperative to send the right message and lead by example.
Mayor Adams also said the city is dropping a requirement that students who participate in after-school activities be vaccinated. Hurricane Fiona is likely to strengthen to a Category 4 storm as it approaches Bermuda on Friday. Philippe Papin with the National Hurricane Center says Fiona remains a Category 3 major hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 125 miles per hour.
Bermuda has a tropical storm watch. We'll be talking with them a little bit later to see if they are going to be potentially upgrading that to a warning. And the storm should be passing by basically just to the west of Bermuda sometime on Thursday night or early Friday morning.
The National Hurricane Center's Philippe Papin says Fiona blasted the Turks and Caicos Islands after devastating Puerto Rico. The special master tasked with inspecting the documents seized in an FBI search at Mar-a-Lago met with lawyers from the Trump team and Justice Department. Raymond Deary said he intends to push briskly through the review process. He appeared skeptical of the Trump team's reluctance to say whether it believed the records had been declassified. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan. Yankee fans went to the stadium to see some history. Four times Aaron Judge had come to the plate. Everyone took out their cell phones, but Judge was 0-for-3 with a walk. Then in the bottom of the ninth inning against the Pirates, Will Crow, who's a relative of Babe Ruth's teammate Red Ruffing, a panted Judge homer. 430 feet to left field, number 60, equaling what the Babe did in 1927 and joining the 60 home run club. That also includes only Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Roger Maris. He, of course, hit 61. Maris's two sons were at the stadium last night. They'll be back there tonight. The Judge homer left the Yankees still trailing the Pirates 8-5, but they loaded the bases, and with Crow still on the mound, still nobody out, up steps Giancarlo Stanton.
Swung on, drilled to deep left. That ball is going to be gone! A grand slam to win the game! No one out, bases loaded, grand slam, bottom of the ninth. And the Yankees have come back in the ninth inning with five runs to win the game 9-8.
WFAN, the call. Stan had been 0-for-3 with three strikeouts, and since coming off the injured list last month, he was 9-for-72 with 30 strikeouts. Mets had a big grand slam of their own. Francisco Lindor, seventh inning, giving the Mets a 7-5 win in Milwaukee. They had tied the game in an inning earlier on a Pete Alonso three-run shot. Atlanta won again. Braves clinch a playoff spot. They stay one game behind the Mets. They're even in the loss column. Cleveland took a big step towards winning the AL Central. Five runs in the 11th to beat the White Sox 10-7 and go up by five games. John Stashdow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
As rents in New York City reached new heights, the number of affordable housing units produced in the last year fell. The Department of Housing Preservation and Development financed about 16,000 units in the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2021. That's a 45% drop from the previous year. New York's financial regulator plans to propose guidance to help banks manage risk posed by climate change. New York Superintendent of Financial Services Adrian Harris says it'll focus largely on operational resiliency, rising temperatures, and increases in extreme weather events. The Democratic state lawmaker behind New Jersey's plastic bag bans says the law has to be changed after people become inundated with reusable bags from home delivery. Bob Smith says one possible fix is allowing home delivery to once again use paper bags or cardboard boxes. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about how dangerous the internet can be for kids.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Gap is cutting 500 corporate jobs as it deals with growing costs.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the FDA has found new flaws at an Indiana vaccine factory that produces COVID-19 vaccines.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on Russian President Vladimir Putin calling up reserve soldiers to bolster his invasion of Ukraine.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Gray Television is moving its three Cleveland TV stations to independence.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. The cryptocurrency market has granted U.S. policymakers the opportunity of a lifetime. Less than a year ago, crypto was on the verge of becoming a systemic threat, gathering disciples, leverage, and political clout faster than regulators could get a grip. Then the danger dissipated. The market imploded before reaching critical mass, entering the crypto winter that persists to this day. Since this reprieve might not last long, policymakers should act now to impose much-needed rules on the market. The technology underlying crypto may yet yield benefits, but the speculative frenzy surrounding it still has the potential to do a lot of damage. Rarely has history granted authorities a second chance to head off such an obvious hazard to the financial system. They shouldn't let it go to waste. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures starting to move a touch higher now. We have S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures now in the green, up 9 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield now 3.54%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. A mix of sun and clouds today with a high near 80 degrees. Any showers will end early tomorrow. It'll turn partly sunny, upper 70s. Mostly sunny, breezy, only mid-60s for Friday. Right now, 64 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and markets are pretty much muted, with investors mostly sidelined before another expected rate hike from the Federal Reserve. Treasuries, gold, and the dollar are jumping after Russian President Vladimir Putin stepped up his war against Ukraine. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And while S&P futures are starting to see a little more strength, they're now up 9 points. They're extending their gains just a little bit, and so are Dow futures, up 79. NASDAQ futures now up 11. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.53%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.94%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.5%, up $2.12 at $86.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $11.70 at $16.82.80 an ounce. The euro 0.9929 against the dollar. British pound 1.1346 and the yen 143.89. And Bitcoin this morning is now little changed at $18,980. And today we are watching for reports on existing home sales. It's at 10 o'clock Wall Street time, and the Federal Reserve interest rate decision is out at 2. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Biden is in New York City today, joining fellow world leaders at the United Nations. The White House says the president will address a range of issues in his speech later this morning, but his main focus will be the war in Ukraine. While President Biden is expected to deliver a harsh message to President Putin, officials say he will not call for Russia's removal from the UN Security Council. We will carry the president's address live, and we'll have more on Russia in a few minutes. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Pirates 9-8. Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run of the season, one away from Roger Maris's American League record. The Mets and Red Sox won. The Orioles and Nationals lost. The A's and Giants were winners. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:49 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on Russia right now, with President Vladimir Putin announcing a partial mobilization in Ukraine, vowing to use all means necessary in the war. Let's bring in Maria Tadeo for more on this, our Europe correspondent for Bloomberg Radio and Television, joining us live from our bureau in Brussels. Maria, good morning. A pretty dramatic announcement yesterday, overnight, from the Russian president. Is this talk of a special military operation now out the window?
Well, is it out the window? What it shows is that it is definitely not going according to plan. Just up until a few days ago, the Russians said everything was going smoothly, that they had a plan in place and the goals would be achieved in accordance to that plan, and that there would be no need for anything that would look like conscription or mobilization. And today you do have a partial one where the Russians, to some extent, not publicly, but if you read between the lines, they concede they need extra manpower on the front line, that they need more men to be able to fight this war against Ukraine. And this is coming a week after they suffered a logistics, very embarrassing logistics collapse in the region of Kharkiv, and they had to pull back. It also goes back, and again, it's very connected to some extent with this idea of the referendums that will take place in the next few days in some of the regions that Russia still controls. So that means that they would essentially become part of the Russian Federation. We always know that with these referendums, the result is already clear. Even before you vote, there will be a resounding yes to joining Russia. But if that happens, then that is clearly an escalation in the war.
How is this likely to be received in Russia, Maria? We've seen a lot of reports coming through out of Russia that President Putin may be losing support, particularly among some of the elites in Moscow.
Look, I think it's always very difficult to see what the oligarchs really think, what the elites around Vladimir Putin think, and whether he's supported or not in the Kremlin, just because that place is sealed. And ultimately, what happens or next will be decided by Vladimir Putin, at least in the short term. The key question to me, beyond the elites or the oligarchs or the rich Russians, who, of course, are losing money as a result of this war, is, in fact, society. Is the average Russian, is this going to change the perception? Up until now, this had been something that was going on in a foreign country that was shown on TV, almost like it's reality TV. And you may be happy and proud for your country or not. You may be in favor of the war or not, but it didn't really have an impact on the everyday lives of people to that extent. Now you're in a situation where if you are in the reserve army for the Russian army, you may get a letter in your mailbox that says, okay, pack your things, you have to go fight in Ukraine, a professional army. I mean, I guess my question to you is, if you get that letter, would you want to go and fight Ukrainians, who up until a year ago were described as your Slavic brothers, who are people that are very similar to you? Would you go?
What about European cohesion against this, Maria? What's the reaction in Europe, particularly now that they're heading into the colder months, of course, and already facing an energy crunch?
Well, the reaction precisely to the speech is hard to track for the time being, because there's a time lag between the speech that came out this morning and the fact that most of European leaders are, in fact, in the United States right now. There's a big time difference. So when the speech dropped, they were probably sleeping and getting 3 hours sleep before the next meeting. But I would point, however, to the words that we heard yesterday from the French president, Emmanuel Macron, the chancellor, Olaf Scholz. Both said this is a return of imperialism. It's an imperialistic war on Russia to Ukraine, is the fact that some nations in the world that believe themselves to be powerful and have powerful weapons feel they can just crawl into a country that they deem is a minor power and is weaker, and therefore they have this right to just rule over the country, and that is not acceptable in 2022.
Thanks, Maria. Good having you on with us this morning after this announcement from the Russian president. Maria Tadeo, Europe correspondent for Bloomberg Radio and Television, joining us live this morning from our bureau in Brussels. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street, and it is time now for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now, here's a legal story we're watching this morning. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is defending his decision to send about 50 undocumented Venezuelan immigrants by plane from San Antonio in Texas to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, even indicating he will repeat the stunt. But a Texas sheriff says the immigrants were lured onto the flight, and he's going to investigate. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to immigration law expert Jack Chin, a professor at U.S. Davis Law School.
The sheriff of Bexar County, Texas, says he's starting a criminal investigation, but didn't say what laws were involved. Is what Florida's governor did here illegal?
Well, there might be a few things wrong with that legally. One is you can't trick people into going somewhere, even if you're the government. You can't say, for example, if you get on this bus and drive to where it's going, there'll be a job waiting for you if there isn't a job waiting for you. You can't deceive people. And that seems more like fraud to me. You also can't force people to go where they don't want to go. And so it's really going to depend on what the underlying facts are. How and why did these people get on the plane? What were they told? And I think there very well might have been, conceivably, some deception involved, because I think a lot of people would not want to just get on a plane and go to Martha's Vineyard with no place to stay and no job and no reasonable prospect of any sort of settled situation. And so one wonders what those people were told or if they voluntarily went on that particular journey. But if they did voluntarily go and they were told more or less what was going to happen to them when they got there, then it's not necessarily a criminal offense or even necessarily a civil violation on the part of the people who organized that particular excursion.
Texas's governor has sent something like 11,000 migrants from Texas to Chicago, New York, and Washington, and the mayors of those cities have said it's a crisis and asked for the federal government to step in, which it hasn't done so far.
I think the federal government is being careful here not to fan the flames of a political controversy, and I do think that the federal government should take responsibility for managing people who are here applying for asylum and refugee status. But I don't think that it's going to go on forever. I really don't. I think there's going to be litigation. I think at some point, a state or the federal government is going to find some way to get involved. And at a minimum, I would bet, you know, given that lawyers are involved now, that there's going to be some way to make sure that the people seeking asylum who are transported across the United States give informed consent before they go. As I say, it seems unlikely that they would have given informed consent as the situation is now, because nobody wants to be driven somewhere and dumped off with no support.
And that's Jack Chin, a professor at U.S. Davis Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And futures are now higher, extending their gains. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.